Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Behind the Beautiful Forevers by Catherine Bow is a non-fiction work of immersive reporting set in Anawadi, a small settlement beside the international airport in Mumbai. The title points to the contrast between glossy advertising slogans and the precarious lives lived in their shadow. Bow follows several families and individuals as they try to improve their standing through work, scavenging, small trade, and calculated risk, all while navigating entrenched inequality. The book examines how opportunity in a rapidly growing city can exist alongside corrosive poverty, and how the promise of upward mobility is shaped by corruption, social hierarchies, and fragile public systems. Rather than treating residents as symbols, Bow portrays them as strategists and moral actors making difficult choices under pressure. The narrative traces everyday efforts to secure housing, education, healthcare, and respect, revealing how a single incident can draw people into police stations, hospitals, and courts. It is a close look at resilience and the cost of survival. I will give you key takeaways from this book firstly. Anawadi is a system, not a backdrop. A central topic of the book is how Anawadi functions as a tightly interlinked system shaped by location, policy, and the informal economy. Situated next to Mumbai Airport and high-end development, the settlement is exposed to constant pressure from real estate interests, civic neglect, and the visibility of wealth. Bow highlights how residents earn money through recycling, day labor, domestic work, and small enterprises, and how these livelihoods depend on access to trash streams, scrap buyers, and fragile arrangements with local power brokers. The environment itself becomes part of the system. Crowded housing, poor sanitation, and contaminated water increase illness and reduce earning capacity, creating a cycle that is difficult to break. The settlement is also socially organized through religious and regional identities, household alliances, and long-running feuds that influence who gets help and who is blamed. By treating Anawadi as an operating network rather than a mere setting, the book clarifies why individual effort alone rarely produces stable mobility. It also shows how macro forces like globalization, urban redevelopment, and migration patterns are experienced through everyday negotiations over space, dignity, and survival. Secondly, the economics of scarcity and the logic of small gains. Another important topic is the microeconomics of poverty, where survival depends on tiny margins, constant calculation, and the ability to absorb shocks. Residents pursue small gains by sorting recyclables, running modest businesses, or taking precarious jobs, often reinvesting earnings into household needs rather than long-term assets. The book illustrates how volatility rules decision-making: a hospital bill, a lost day of work, a monsoon flood, or a price change in scrap materials can erase months of progress. This scarcity shapes behavior that outsiders may misread, such as hoarding, aggressive bargaining, or risky borrowing, because these are rational strategies when safety nets are weak. Bow also examines the psychology of aspiration in this context. The people measure themselves against neighbors and against the city's wealth, creating pressure to display progress even when it is financially damaging. Education, dowries, and improvements to a home can be both investments and sources of debt. The book's attention to small gains makes clear that poverty is not only low income, but also relentless exposure to instability, where the primary goal is often not advancement but avoiding collapse. Thirdly, corruption is infrastructure in police, hospitals, and courts. The book devotes substantial attention to how public institutions operate when bribery and favoritism become routine. Police stations, municipal offices, hospitals, and courts are depicted less as neutral service providers and more as marketplaces where outcomes can be bought, delayed, or redirected. Bow shows how residents must learn the going rates for forms, signatures, medical attention, and legal protection, and how those without cash pay in other currencies, such as labor, humiliation, or silence. This transactional environment distorts the meaning of truth and justice. Accusations can be manufactured to pressure rivals, while honest testimony may carry little weight against well-placed connections. For families already struggling, even attempting to use official channels can trigger cascading costs, missed work, transport fees, informal payments, and the risk of retaliation. The result is a system where the poor often face punishment, not only for wrongdoing, but for being convenient targets. Yet the book also suggests why corruption persists. Low salaries, overcrowded caseloads, and political incentives create conditions where bribery becomes normalized. By mapping corruption as a practical infrastructure, the narrative explains how inequality is reproduced through everyday bureaucracy. Fourthly, moral choices under pressure and the social cost of blame. A key theme is how ethical decision-making changes when people live under constant threat of eviction, hunger, and violence. The book presents residents as capable of generosity, cruelty, loyalty, and betrayal, often within the same set of relationships. When resources are scarce, blame becomes a tool for survival. Families may scapegoat neighbors to protect themselves, or participate in rumor and accusation to gain leverage with authorities. Bow explores how shame and status function as powerful forces, shaping choices about marriage, work, schooling, and conflict. The desire to be seen as respectable can lead to decisions that increase risk, while the fear of dishonor can silence victims and limit cooperation. The book also highlights the role of children and adolescents, who absorb adult anxieties early and may be pushed into work, hustling, or caretaking roles. Instead of framing morality as a simple divide between good and bad actors, the narrative shows how institutions and incentives can reward deception and punish honesty. This makes the reader confront uncomfortable questions about responsibility, how much agency people truly have when the rules of the game are stacked against them, and what forms of integrity remain possible. Lastly, hope, aspiration, and the uneven pathways to mobility. Despite its hard realities, the book repeatedly returns to hope and the pursuit of a better life, and it asks what hope means when opportunity is real but unevenly distributed. Residents of Anahuasi are surrounded by symbols of upward mobility, airports, hotels, new roads, and consumer advertising. This proximity intensifies aspiration, creating a sense that success is close enough to touch, yet often blocked by lack of documentation, unstable employment, and social exclusion. Boo traces how people try to convert ambition into progress through education, entrepreneurship, and strategic alliances, while confronting obstacles that are not merely personal but structural. Illness, accident, and legal entanglements can reverse fortunes quickly, and the absence of secure property rights makes long-term planning fragile. The book suggests that mobility in this setting is less a ladder than a series of narrow ledges, where a few may advance, many hover, and some fall. Hope is portrayed as both necessary and risky. It fuels persistence, but it can also lead to desperate bets. By focusing on aspiration alongside hardship, the narrative avoids fatalism and invites readers to think about what policies and institutions would make hope more than a private emotion. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a grounded understanding of global inequality, urban poverty, and how institutions shape everyday life. It will also appeal to people interested in narrative nonfiction, sociology, public policy, and modern India, as well as anyone who suspects that simple stories about hard work and merit do not explain who gets ahead. The benefit to the reader lies in its ability to sharpen moral and civic perception. By following specific lives over time, the book reveals how poverty is produced by unstable work, weak public services, and the constant monetization of basic rights. Readers come away with a clearer sense of how corruption operates, why well-meaning interventions fail, and what resilience looks like when choices are constrained. Compared with similar books, it stands out for its sustained reporting, novel-like structure, and refusal to romanticize or sensationalize the poor. It neither reduces people to victims nor treats their ingenuity as proof that the system is fair. Buying it is worthwhile because it offers durable insight, not a fleeting news snapshot, and it equips readers to think more intelligently about charity, development, and policy debates. If you would like to support Catherine Boo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts.